Good morning. It is Thursday, December 1st. This is Trina Gray calling in from Bay Athletic Club, leading our December Fast Track call. I will mute the line, so you don't need to worry. If you have background noise, it will be muted right out. There we go. Excellent. Well, thanks for making the time to be on the call today. I appreciate your flexibility on the change of day. I did want to get with you still in the first week of December, but was asked to be on an advisory board for our high school, and we are meeting tomorrow morning for a planning session from it's like half the morning. So it's something I'd committed to, so I thought I'd move the call to today. Thanks for making the time to be on. Lots to cover today, and since I'm expecting a smaller crowd on the phone right now, we've got about 12 people on the line right now. I'm going to spend most of the time sharing some information on a couple different topics, and then I'll open up the lines at the end. If you want to stay on for Q&A, you can. If you don't want to, you don't need to. I'm going to get through my part in about 30 minutes, and then I'll open up the lines to Q&A. So what I'd like to talk to you about today is, if you saw my newsletter, it's on the top of my mind because it's what I've been doing in corporate fitness this week, and I just want to share with you some really good learning lessons. If you saw the newsletter on Tuesday, you would have seen that I've been doing presentations all week at a local manufacturing company called Decorative Panels, Inc. It's a pressed board manufacturing company. They deliver pressed boards to like Lowe's and Home Depot. It has about 120 employees who work all different shifts. Some of the employees, maybe about a dozen, work in the front administrative offices. They're the full-time salaried managers and directors. And then there are shift workers who work swing shifts. Sometimes they're midnight, sometimes they're afternoons. And there seems to just be a pretty strong disconnect amongst that staff. When we started working with them a couple of years ago in the Corporate Fit Challenge, I really feel like we have helped bridge that gap, that we've really helped management and employees come together in the union in a little bit better way, something that they hadn't ever seen happening. And it really had nothing to do with work. It was all about getting people to focus on their health and fitness. So we've done 3 corporate fit challenges with this workplace, DPI. They've lost literally hundreds of pounds, hundreds of inches, gotten off medications. This company was recognized by our Chamber of Commerce as the number one wellness leader in the community for a business last year for their efforts in the corporate challenge. So I say all of that to let you know that even in a company where we've made some massive inroads, where we have created a ton of success stories, many of our 60-second inspiration stories that we've created have come from this business alone, even with all of that groundwork laid, it is still really difficult to talk to people about their health and fitness. I have been struggling this week in my presentations with them in a good way, because when I struggle, I get stronger. When we're tested, I know we come out stronger, and so I've been reminding myself that I believe in this. I believe in wanting people in my community to be healthier. I believe in wanting to create happier workplaces and happier home lives, and I'm telling you that sometimes you just absolutely have to channel that belief so strongly that when you walk into a room, as I have the past 2 nights at 10 o'clock at night, so I could meet with the midnight shift, 10 o'clock at night the past 2 nights, not eye contact from one person in the room. It was like they were actually told to stare at their shoes. No eye contact, no questions, arms crossed, Carhartt jackets on, zipped all the way up. I mean, it was a classic example of people not wanting to hear the message. And us, as the fitness professionals, trainers, physical therapists, coaches, whoever's online listening that leads corporate challenges, it's you really have to have this burning desire to want to help people, that you can get yourself through a presentation, multiple presentations of people who don't want to hear the message. Here's what I can tell you. I'm going to give you a sample of what I said last night, that I honestly feel like when I got home that I had gotten through to some people, that by the end they had maybe warmed up a little bit and they did take applications for the challenge with them, and I do believe I will get a good number of people in this challenge. And I just have to remind myself that even if they don't look open to the presentation at the time, it's an uncomfortable topic for a lot of people. that at least I got their wheels turning. Maybe they won't join this program, but maybe they will change something. That's still a success. So I want to just give you a quick rundown of what I said, because I know that people are out and about right now doing presentations, some people feeling frustrated if they don't, if it doesn't happen right away or they can't get in right away. And I have to tell you, you just have to keep trying. You just have to keep getting out there. And as great of a program as the Corporate Fit Challenge is, as well-rounded, as thorough, as simple and easy for someone to participate in, all those elements combined, at the end of the day, somebody has to choose that they want to work with you. Somebody has to choose they want to work with you. And that's where we need to do some work, to be honest. If you're struggling getting some off the ground, you got to take a look at, am I creating relationships in this community right now? Am I known as someone who's involved and engaged in the community who wants to help? And I think you got to take a look at that. Do people only know you as a trainer, or do they know you as a volunteer in the community? Do they know you as someone who's active in the community? The program can be as great as the program is, but it's still just a program. Somebody has to decide they want you to help them. Do you put off the air that you're on the journey with them, or do you put off the air that you're better than them? I'm not suggesting, I'm not talking to anyone in particular, of course. I'm just saying, in general, are you out there really wanting to help people? Or you're out there saying, I know it all, and I can teach it to you? Because no one wants to work with that. People want to work with the person that says, I love it, I'm in fitness because, and I say at the beginning of my presentation, my name is Trina Gray, I own Bay Athletic Club, I'm in fitness because I truly want your household to be a happier place. That's why I'm in it. And so I want them to know that. So you got to start thinking about, what is it that you tell people about fitness? They don't always want to know your own personal success story. They don't necessarily always want to know, you know, what kind of races and runs and things you compete in. They want to know how what you have helps them. How what you have helps them. All right, so think about that the program is amazing. Every trainer I know who is involved in this team is a solid person, is solid. I've enjoyed every single coaching call. I see success for all of you. I need you to see success for yourself just as strongly. I need you to see that you're creating a relationship with someone. They're deciding to work with you. The elements of the program aren't as important as you think they are. So with that, let me give you an example of what I said last night, because I'm telling you, this is the toughest crowd I've ever spoken to. And I've been to this business many times, and I just felt a chill in the air from this midnight shift. It was the first night about 25 guys, last night about 20 guys, all literally with their coats all the way zipped up, with their work boots on. And they just received the not-so-good news that their health care plan was changing, and their premiums were going to be going up 20%. So that meant that most of the employees were going to have to opt into a higher deductible plan to keep their premiums lower. So basically only catastrophic coverage. So daily office visits, prescription coverage was going to be a lot harder to come by. Not good news, okay? So obviously it wasn't like a great warm welcome when I walked in there. So taking this into account, I use that in my talk. So here's what I said in a nutshell. I did a 20-minute talk. I'm going to do it for you guys in about 5 minutes here. I said to them, thanks for your time. Thanks for having me here tonight. I understand that you guys are taking a hard look at your health insurance and have some tough decisions to make. And the bottom line is that being in poor health costs a lot of money. Being in poor health costs you a lot of your money. You work hard to make the money that you earn. I want to help you keep more of it. You work hard to make the money that you earn. I want you to use that money to make your life better, to do something fun with your family, to pay off bills that you worry about. I want you to use that money in a way that's not fighting your health. And I talked about that more. I said, being in poor health makes you poor in many areas of life. That was my second point. First point, I wanted them to keep more of their own money. Second point was that being poor makes you poor in many areas of life. It makes you poor in your relationships. It makes you poor in your confidence. It makes you poor in how you feel about yourself. It makes you poor in your work ethic. It makes you poor in your sleep patterns. And I just listed a whole bunch of them. I'm just doing these off the top of my head for you right now. So I talked about how your whole life is poor when you're in poor health. You don't treat other people as nice. You don't treat yourself as well. You don't feel good about yourself. You don't sleep well. You can't be productive as productive at work. Your mind is elsewhere. And on this note, I decided to slide in an example. And here's what I said to them. The age of the room ranged from probably 18, 19-year-olds right out of high school and working in this manufacturing plant to guys close to retirement in their 60s. So I had to try to bridge that gap and use a couple different examples. The first one I gave was this. I said, listen, taking care of yourself now is going to guarantee a longer, more high-quality life. And I said, I know sometimes that's hard to grasp or that it seems so far away. But listen, I said, I just got back from a weekend in Detroit where I spent the weekend with my husband and his family and our kids. His dad is 65 years old, literally going on 80. He's a 65-year-old union construction worker who retired because he needed double knee replacement. And after 40 years in the union, working long hours in construction, he didn't take care of himself. And he's 65 going on 80. And he checked out the entire weekend we were there because all he could focus on was his health, that his back hurt, that his chest hurt, that he's out of breath walking from his recliner to the kitchen. He went to bed at 6:30 every night we were there. He missed out on quality time with his two grandkids. He missed out on quality time with his own son. And I talked about that, and I looked at them, and I said, he didn't take care of himself, and he's still choosing not to. Instead of losing the 50 pounds he needs to lose to take some pressure off his back and his knees that just got replaced, he just keeps taking more medicine and keeps looking for a doctor to do another surgery. And I said, this isn't a way to live. Then I said, listen, I'm not just here to be the bearer of bad news. I'm actually here with an amazing message. So tune in. Here's the good message. The third point I want to bring to you is that you have more control over your health than your health has over you. And I said, there's three really main things that you can't control. You can't control your genetics. You can't control your age. You can't control your sex. Those are three things that affect your health that you can't control. But listen, guys, I said, look at this huge list of what you can control. You can control what you eat, how much you drink, if you drink, if you smoke, how much you exercise, if you exercise. You can control your sleep. You can control your stress. There's so many things about your health and life that you can control. And I tried to pour my energy into that part of the talk to make them feel like they can be in charge. That all night long in their shift, they're told what to do, and they're not in charge when they're at work. They're told to move this box from here over there. And at this point in their life, I want them to feel like they are in control of something. So I talked about that a lot. And then I said, listen, I want to share with you something, and I had my arms out really wide, and I said, on one end of the spectrum is the couch, and that might be where you want to go when you're done with work, or right to bed when you're done with work. The other end of the spectrum is running a marathon, and the problem is most of us see fitness in that light. We see nothing, or we see an athlete, and all I need you to do is to meet me in the middle. And I looked at them, even though most of them were not looking at me, they'd kind of glance up at me and then look down at their boots, glance up, look down at their paper. And I literally walked around the room and looked at every single one of them. And I said, what I'm asking you for, I'm asking you for a commitment that you will meet me in the middle, because there in the middle is the life that you deserve. There in the middle is the life that your family deserves. And I let them think on that for a while, and I said, here's what I mean. I mean 20 to 30 minutes of physical activity, more than just work. Your body's already accustomed to what you do at work. It's got to be more than that. It's got to include strength training. It's got to get your heart rate up. 20 to 30 minutes of physical activity as many days of the week as possible. It's got to include more water, less soda, and alcohol in your diet. As I say this, I look around the table, and there are four or five, I don't know why Mountain Dew is so big around here, but four or five Mountain Dews on the table. And I said, it's got to include more water, less soda, less alcohol. It's got to include more fruits and vegetables and less processed food and snacks. I said, these changes are not hard to come by. Every single one of you in the room can do this, and you can do this starting tonight. You can do this tomorrow. You can do this, and we are here to help. So I have to be honest, none of this talk was really on the Corporate Fit Challenge. I did end with that. I did go to that and say, we have this amazing program. It changes lives. It can change your life. It can change your household. It's 6 weeks out of your life where you get to focus on you. It's 6 weeks out of your life where someone tells you, yes, this is what's wrong with you, and here's how we're going to fix it. I said, don't you get sick of just hearing from the doctor what's wrong with you? Your blood pressure's high. Your cholesterol's high. Your body mass index is high. You don't eat enough good foods. You're overweight. I said, we don't want to go there. We're going to figure out together what you struggle with. We're going to figure out together where your health is going downhill, and we're going to find a way to make it better. I said, we're all about solutions. And I talked about my team a little bit and said, my team is an amazing group of people. I didn't want them to feel intimidated. I can tell you, I'm sure not one single person in that room had stepped foot in the gym before, and that's my assumption. I could be wrong. And I just said, we're a team of people who want to help you, and you're going to be welcome in our setting. We'll teach you how to work out at our club, or we'll teach you how to work out at home. It doesn't matter to us where you are active. We just want you to be active. We're going to give you recipes. We're going to talk to you about grocery shopping. We're going to help you make your life better. So I told them the kickoff. I gave them the materials and, you know, thanked them for their time. And, of course, I want to ask if there's any questions. Or you could literally, like, hear crickets in the room. So that's fine. I could have left last night really discouraged. And to be honest, I walked out to my car, you know, 10:40 at night thinking, ugh, seriously, that was brutal. But I've been thinking about it the rest of the night last night and this morning. Just that, no, you know what? I know that they heard something. Some of these guys are going to do this. I made them look in the mirror and think twice about themselves today. And that's what you and I are in this for. I'm not in it just to sell to everybody. I'm not in it just to worry about what kind of budget I'm going to have and how many people are going to be in it. And I know when we're first getting started, we're focused on the money and getting things off the ground. I get that. I'm in business too, and I got bills to pay. But I'm telling you, if you just put your heart in the right place and you put that out there, people will hear it and they'll want to work with you. So that's what I wanted to share with you. The presentations can be tough. Talking to people about their health and fitness can be tough. If it's not tough, you're not digging deep enough. It should be tough. All right? And I also want you to know that I'm on this journey with you. I'm here to help you along the way as you're growing your business, as you're growing these challenges. People need this. We have been doing this nearly full-time in my community for almost 3 years now, and there's no end in sight. It is a program that is always going to be relevant. It's always going to be needed. It can fuel your business. There's always a workplace, a service club, a church group, some organization or people who want to improve their health and fitness. It's a lifelong journey. There's no end. You don't get to the bottom of the barrel and there's no more clients anymore. It's a constant cycle of people. So I want you to dig your teeth into it and to love it and to be passionate about it and to bring people into the fold. All right? So that's what I wanted to share with you today on the Corporate Fit Program. And then I have something different I'm going to share in my last 7 minutes here of my part of the talk. There's maybe one or two people on the line who've gotten some of this information from me, but most have not. And I want to share it because sometimes it's fun to think about business building tips outside of just the Corporate Fit Challenge, all right? So I'm leading a challenge, a 30-day challenge called PUSH. It's based on a book that my friend Shalene Johnson wrote, and it's just all about setting goals in your life, reaching goals in your life, and having priorities and having a to-do list. So it sounds kind of esoteric, so I want to share with you just kind of my top takeaways right now because I'm telling you, man, does it help to just relook at your life and relook at your business and focus a little bit. So I want to bring some of that to the table today. All right. What I want to share with you is the first lesson we had to do in this 30-day challenge with Shalene was to write a priority statement, right? A priority statement. What that really means is write a few sentences or a paragraph about what means the most to you in life. I found this exercise to be incredibly profound. here's what I'm talking about. If the first thing that comes to your mind is your family, that your family's your priority, and it certainly wasn't that way in this group. We have a group of 90 women in this challenge with me, 90 women, and the priorities are all over the map, okay? So for the people who said their priority was family, we really dug into that and said, well, what does that mean if your priority is your family? Does that mean that you want to make enough money to care for your family? Does that mean that you want to have quality time with your family? Does that mean that you want to take them on trips? Does that mean that you want to be engaged? Does that mean, what does that mean, that you want to work hard and set a good example? There's lots of things that means to lots of different people, and it's not the same for everybody. So she really encouraged us to write a detailed statement or paragraph about what is our priority. If you say your priority is your job, well, what does that mean, that you want to be successful in what way, financially, or that you want to feel like you're living with purpose, or that you are contributing to society, or that you have time and financial freedom, that you're helping others, that you're growing a team, that you're paying the bills? What is it? What does it mean if your priority is your career? All right? For a lot of people, for a lot of the women in this group, they said their priority was their health. So what does that mean to you, to be in good enough health to be a better mom, better spouse, better whomever? Does that mean that you're in better health, so you have more confidence, and you live with more joy and more energy? Does it mean that you're really fit and you can run any race and complete anything you set your mind out to? What does it mean to you? So I think this is a powerful exercise, and I encourage everyone on this fast track to do this, because we're better business people, we're better people when we have our priorities in line. Maybe your priority is your faith and your spirituality. Well, what does that mean to you? Does that mean that you set aside time to focus on that daily? Does that mean that you attend groups or church, or what does that mean to you? Can you get that more in writing and capture some details? Then the next step on this, I'm going through it quickly, I realize, but the next step in this is to start looking at things that you fill your life with. And are these things congruent with your priorities? Are there things that you're being asked to do that really isn't incongruent with your priority list? That doesn't mean that every single thing we do every day, the errand that I just ran, or, you know, dropping gloves off at my kid's school or whatever was like my top priority, or that everything that we do in life is in line with our priority. But is there something you're doing that's completely off? Or are there things you're doing that are detracting from that? So if I say that my priority in life is to have a loving partnership with my husband and to raise my kids to love themselves and find their gifts in life, then am I fulfilling my priority if everything I do is taking me away from my family? No, I'm not. So I've really personally taken a look at how much travel I want to do anymore, how much coaching I'd prefer to do on the phone rather in person, how much more writing I'd rather do about health and fitness than actually speaking at conventions. And that's a change I'm making in my life, because my priority is to be present and raising kids and being a partner to my husband and being a leader on my team. And so I can't do all those things if I'm always traveling. So it's really making me take a look at my priorities and what I'm actually doing with my life. It's been helping me then make different business decisions, reach out and find more opportunities to write articles rather than present. Just writing that priority statement got me a series of articles for Idea Health and Fitness Journal, because I reached out and said, I'm not going to take this opportunity to present next year at your convention, but I would be interested in doing some more writing. Done. All right, so business decisions can be made based on priority statement. The next thing that she shared with us was to come up with 10 big goals for the next 12 months, to accomplish over the next 12 months. Those of you who have been involved in Todd Durkin's masterminds or mentorships, we've done exercises like this, but have you done it recently? Have you looked at that list? What 10 things would you really love to happen in the next 12 months? And when I asked the women in this group this question, many of them couldn't come up with any, or they could come up with one or two. Or they said things like, oh, gosh, yeah, it'd be nice if I had some more free time. Or, yeah, you know, it'd be fun if I lost 15 or 20 pounds. I'm talking big. I mean, hey, I'd love to pay off $10,000 in debt next year. I'd love to buy my next car with cash. I'd like to take off 25 pounds, lower my blood pressure, and keep it that way. I'd love to take my family on a vacation. These are not my personal ones. I'm sharing ones that I've heard. I ask these women to think bigger than they've been thinking and to really get their big thoughts down on paper. Hey, listen, those of you who train small groups, individuals, boot camps. These are great things for you as a leader to take from this call today and bring to people who listen to you, bring to your clients and say, you know, the last 10 minutes of our session today, I want to sit down with you and I want to talk to you about your priority statement. I want to figure out where does health and fitness fit in your life. I want to talk to you about your 10 big goals for the next 12 months. And let's figure out how does health and fitness help get you there? Because you know what, you guys, health and fitness helps in so many ways. And I think sometimes it helps our clients to see that. That yes, when you are taking care of yourself, you do have more energy. You can be more productive. You can be more ambitious and make more money. You can be a more loving spouse. You can be a better mom. You can be a better dad. You can be all these things. And a lot of it does start with your health and fitness. So having our clients share their 10 goals with us over the next 12 months is also fuel for you to be a better coach. All right? In writing these 10 areas or these 10 goals, I want you to think about writing these 10 goals that cover different areas of your life, different areas of your life. Let me give you the examples. Instead of all the goals being financially related or all the goals being health and fitness related, let's spread it out so to create some balance in all areas of our life. So here are the 7 areas quickly. Environment, meaning your home, your office, your car, literally the places where you spend your time. What could you do to improve that environment in the next 12 months? Women in the group were saying anything from, yeah, they need to repaint their house, they need to redo their office, they need to expand, they need to upgrade their car, they need to clean out their office, they need a new organizing system. You know, thinking about what would be amazing, if you could change your environment in the next 12 months. Number 2, hobbies and fun. I got to tell you, I was shocked at how many women in this group could not point to a single hobby. They started their sentence with, well, I used to. What? Since when does life, why does life not need to be fun anymore? Why can we not have hobbies anymore? It's really, really helped people think about what brings them joy, what kinds of things they like to do just for themselves. It's not a waste of time to knit for 30 minutes if that's what you like to do. It would be for me because I wouldn't know the first thing to do. That was a joke. But it's not a waste of time if you enjoy something. It makes you feel good. If you like to paint, I like to play the piano. I'm not going to think it's a waste of time if I sit down and play the piano for 15 minutes because it's something that I enjoy. It's a way for me to be creative and not have to, you know, think about everything else in life. So I said I really encourage people to find their hobbies. What is it that they love to do? All right. Number 3, relationships. What would be a great goal for their relationships, improve their relationships in the next 12 months? Number 4, health and fitness. What does that mean? Is it a weight they want to maintain? Is it a race they want to train for? Is it a blood pressure or cholesterol number they want to bring down? What's one big, great goal? Number 5, finances. I find people really struggle with this. They're too scared to put a number out there. They're too scared to say what they want to have happen. Hey, if you want to pay off a loan or you want to pay off a credit card or you want to put aside $5,000 for a vacation or you want to put a down payment on a new home or whatever it is, it's never going to happen if you do not put it down on paper and start planning for it. It doesn't just happen. It's like getting in the car and going on a trip and assuming you're just going to end up in sunny San Diego if you never take a map with you. Well, no, you're never going to get there. Same thing with finances. Just put it down on paper. I love the concept. I feel like nothing's impossible to create in my life if I put it down and then reverse engineer back how I'm going to get there. All right, it's just like saying to one of our clients who comes to us and says they want to lose 20 pounds, all right, well, we know what it takes to lose 20 pounds. You got to burn 3,500 calories for every pound. So maybe some of that comes from a deficit in their diet and some of it comes from increased activity and probably a merger of both, right? It's not impossible for us to help somebody do that, just like it's not impossible for us to set aside $2,000 in savings over the course of a year if we need to. All right, number 6, personal growth. What would you love to do in the next 12 months to experience personal growth? Is there a speaker or a writer or an author that you've always loved that you'd love to see in person? Is there a seminar that you've always wanted to go to? Is there a weekend retreat that you'd love to take by yourself to just do some writing and journaling Is there a audiobook series that you want to get and download and listen to the whole thing? What is it? What is it in personal growth? And the last one is career and purpose blended together, career and purpose. What is it that you'd like to do in the next 12 months that would be amazing in your career or your purpose? I'm hoping for those of you on the line, maybe this one has something to do with the Corporate Fit Challenge. Maybe it's that you want to work with 10 workplaces in the next year, or that you want to have touched 100 lives through the Corporate Fit Challenge program in the next year, or that you want to be recognized in your community as the go-to person in corporate fitness in the next year. I believe you can do it. We have a solid group of trainers in this program. It's a solid program. We've got great coaching available. You've got great ideas and energy. You can be the go-to person in this area. You can work with 100 people. You can overhaul 10 workplaces. Get it down on paper. Reverse engineer back what you need to do to make that happen. How many phone calls you're going to need to make? Probably 5 to 10 phone calls to get one off the ground when you're first starting. Believe this to be true, that after you get your first one or two going, they will start to spread on their own, because people will see and hear about the results. Friends and family will be either a part of the challenge or will be witnessing the challenge, and they will want it in their workplace. You need to get in and get one or two off the ground and be amazing at it. Be amazing at it, and it will grow. All right, so thank you for listening to some other information today, not necessarily exactly related to the Corporate Fit Challenge, but we are whole people. We are parents, we're friends, we're siblings, we're business owners, and sometimes it's fun to take a step back and take a look at the whole person. So I hope that you consider doing that priority statement, and that you're bold enough to put out 10 big goals. And if anybody wants to be bold enough to share any of those on the listserv, I would love to see them. I would love to see them. I will put some of mine out to you. 10 big goals for the year and or your priority statement. All right, I'm going to open up the lines of questions. The last thing I'm going to touch on right here before I do that is somebody had asked on the listserv recently about time management, if I had any tips on time management. So I'm going to offer this last tip for you, for those who might wonder about time management techniques. The best suggestion I can give you is this: to do a daily to-do list. To do a daily to-do list. You have to be as disciplined about your to-do list as you are about your fitness. As disciplined about your to-do list as you are about brushing your teeth. It is something that you have to do. It is the map for your day. The tips that I've learned about to-do lists are quite simply these 5 quick tips. Number 1, do your to-do list in the same place every day. I sit at my kitchen counter after I get my kids to school. I sit down before I shower, do anything, get ready for the day. I sit down at the counter and write out my to-do list at the same place and the same time every day. First 2 tips, same time, same place every day. Successful people have successful habits. That's it. Successful people don't have more degrees necessarily, don't even necessarily have more ambition, don't have more talent. Successful people have successful habits. I sit down every day and write out my to-do list. What's on your to-do list? Everything. My to-do list covers anything from needing to get my car washed, needing to schedule a haircut, to writing an article, to preparing for this call, to leading a presentation at my kid's school later. It's all on one list. My whole life blends. I put it all in one place. It's called a brain dump. Anything that I need to make happen, I put down on that list. Certainly, you can put time on that. There's some things that have to be done today, some things that have to be done this month, and you can, you know, add layers of complexity to your list if you want to. I like just getting it down on paper. All right, so in the same time, in the same place, every single day, you want to review it often. Review it often throughout the day. I have little alarms set on my iPhone. So I keep my list in the journal, but I have a little alarm set on my iPhone, and it goes off every hour. That beep on my iPhone reminds me to look at my list and see where I am in my day. And it reminds me that if I've been daydreaming or checking too many emails or lost on Facebook or on a conversation that's lasting too long, I look at my list and say, I've got to get back on track. All right, so I have that alarm set every hour. All right, so you want to have it with you often, and you want to have and you want to review it often. So have it with you, something you carry with you. Tons of great apps for your phone. Awesome Note is a good one. Lots of great free apps, 99-cent apps, where you can keep your to-do list. All right, so review it often. So those are my tips for you on the to-do list. That's my tip for you on time management. I promise you, it is game-changing to keep a daily to-do list. Be disciplined about it. Once you start, you will never go back the other way. So thank you, everyone, for being on the line today. I'm going to unmute the lines and open it up to Q&A. If we have any questions, you're welcome to ask. And if you're filled up with information for the day, that's good, too. Excellent. Okay, well, our lines are unmuted. I appreciate that you're on. I'm going to quickly run down the area codes of people on the call. And if you want to jump in and ask a question or a comment, I would love to hear it. So area code 415. Area code 415. No question or comment? Okay, area code 360.
Yeah, we're just getting started here. So my main question is how to get in the door. Who do I look to talk to?
Let's see, I'm hearing a little bit of background noise. If your line is loud, hit star 6 for me. If your line is loud, hit star 6. Okay,
can you hear me now?
Sorry, who am I talking to here?
This is John from Island Athletic Club.
Oh, hello. So how to get in the door is really to look at your raving fans first. Who are your raving fans in your business? Who really enjoys working with you right now? Could you talk to these clients about hosting you in their workplace for you to come in and talk to their coworkers? So a lot of people, and most of our challenges got started from our existing clients. They all work somewhere, and so we just said to them, hey, can we come and talk to your clients or your coworkers at the bank, at the grocery store, at the school, and talk to them about the six-week program? Would you be our, quote, you know, inside contact? There's lots of other ways to go about it, but I'm just breaking it down to the simplest, quickest way is to find one person who you currently work with who likes what you do and say, would you be willing to host me at your work? They don't have to be a person in management. They don't have to be a decision maker. Let me clarify that. All the ones that we did at Home Depot came from someone who works at in the checkout line. And Jen said she wanted to get in shape and lose weight. She was one of our clients. And I said, you know, an easier way to do it, Jen, is not to do it on your own, but to do it with your coworkers. Can I pop in and talk to you guys at lunch or after work and just tell them about this program? I'm not asking their employer to pay for it, so I'm not looking for permission. I'm just looking for someone to want to host me. When we do your coaching call, we can get deeper into that, but that's just, you know, off the top of my head, the first thing I would suggest.
Okay.
Does that help a little bit?
It does.
Okay, so I take away all the barriers of I'm not going through management, I'm not asking them to pay for it, I'm not seeking permission, I'm not sending a formal proposal. I'm literally just saying to the person I know who works at a school or a bank, an insurance center, those are some of the easiest places to go, a dental office, a medical office, a law firm, and say, hey, you know, there's one way for you to get fit, and it's to do it by yourself, and there's another way, and it's to do it with your coworkers. Let me help you do that.
All right.
Does that help a little bit?
It does.
Cool. All right, we've got a few others on the line. Let me open it up here. Who is there from, oops, oh, I didn't mean to disconnect you. 816. Oh, I'm sorry, 816. I hope I didn't disconnect you. Sorry about that. How about 718?
Yeah, it's me, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm awesome. How are you doing?
I'm good. And that whole, like the last half hour is like amazing. Like I'm going to put on my like phone and listen to it in my car like every day. It was just great just to listen to.
Thanks, Mark.
So I have last week I tried getting into two schools. One school I dropped off like healthy snacks and stuff and some flyers. My contact person, like she was like really excited about it and everything like that. The assistant principal was kind of like knocked it down in terms of like, oh, I can't do anything like associated with the school. This is a public school. And so like, I mean, I went into the school and like, you know, like as a friend of this, you know, this teacher and my client and, you know, like we had to be like on a low down because I guess the assistant principal, I don't know, she said that it can't be like a school sponsored thing, which is fine. But I guess she also doesn't really want to kind of like, I guess she doesn't want me coming onto the premises or like it can't be like a, I don't know, maybe they want to get permission from like the whatever it is, you know, the board or, I don't know, something like that. But, I mean, we went around to a few teachers, and some teachers were kind of, like, really excited, you know, excited, and they were interested in it. And I'll probably, I still have to send her an email, you know, and I guess she's going to send it out to all the teachers, right? Is that how it works? Or at least the other staff?
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Mm-hmm.
And so my only concern is, like, I'm thinking about, like, let's say for the how am I going to do the presentation? Like, if I try to say, like, hey, let me come in, you know, because I want to email them so that I come in, let's say, next week, Monday or Tuesday, to do the pitch. Like, do I say, like, hey, I can't really come in so much into the school. So, like what are, like, your suggestions? Do, like, outside of school, or, like, where should I do it? Like, how can I gather them together, you know, right after school or something? Or should I, like, try to lead
really
it all?
Go on school premises to talk to them about a health and wellness program?
Sorry, what was that?
You really can't go onto the school premises to talk to them about health and wellness?
The assistant principal wouldn't, like, I had to go in there, like, literally as, like, not, like, a health person, just kind of like a friend of one of the teachers.
Strange. Okay, yeah, I've been hearing lots of weird stuff from people about them not wanting a for-profit person to come into the school. And I'm like, well, right now, tons of business happening in school, so this seems strange to me. But here's what I would do. I would either pick just one classroom, so just your teacher friend, and say, hey, can I just work with one classroom and work with just the parents of that classroom? So it's a different approach. And
okay.
Could I get, like, a letter to go home to those parents? Or could I work with, you know, just one group of teachers, and could we all meet after school? You know, I'm sure you can do whatever you want after school. Can I meet with you guys after school?
Okay.
You don't need to go through, in my view, if someone says you need to go and get school board permission, I would explain it this way, Mark. I would say, you know, what I'm looking at doing is just getting some people together to do a wellness program. It's really no different than asking if anybody in the school wanted to get together to do a summer softball league. Clearly when they do a bowling league or a softball league or a scrapbooking club, they're not going to the school board to ask permission for that. So put it more in the perspective of, like, a book club. Like, hey, just like people might get together and do a book club for 6 weeks, I'm just getting people together to do a wellness club for 6 weeks.
Gotcha.
I'm not looking for the district to pay for it or provide the space for it. I'm just looking to give to have a chance to talk to the teachers about it.
Okay. And, like, if you, like, what do you suggest, like, to, let's say if I would do for the launch date once I would start it, where do you think that I should, like, try to bring them together to do it if I can't use a school?
Where should you do the kickoff if you can't use the school?
Yeah.
What other space do you have access to? Do you ever use, like, a church or a different school gym? Or obviously it's a little cold in New York right now to be used in the park, but where else would you normally go if you had a group?
I mean, I use the parks outdoors. I have a martial arts studio that I rent sometimes. I don't think that would... it's not too close. It's somewhere in the area of where the school is, I guess. Maybe I could try to get that.
Even like you know, our coffee shop has a back room that you can rent or reserve. I've done coaching appointments, as I told you, like in a bagel store before, if people only have time to meet me on their lunch hour. Don't worry so much about the space, Mark. Get something off the ground and say to them, hey, does anybody have access to, you know, an extra room at their church? Or does anybody have access to a conference room at another office? Or, you know, where could we meet to do a kickoff? I'm sure a back room at a restaurant or a coffee shop. It really, even if you just got the group together for the kickoff to do goal setting as a group, to hand out the materials, to give them the journals, it doesn't have to be in a fitness setting.
Okay, yeah, so I'm sure, if I ask one of them, you know, somebody, you know, it just turns out like that. You ask them and they're like, oh, somebody can be like, oh, yeah, I have a place here or there, something like that.
Right. Even, I mean, I know a lot of trainers who are independent trainers without a facility, they even end up going to, like, the local YMCA or other places and ask, can I rent the gym for an hour?
Or maybe even one of the living rooms or something, that one of them live close by.
Yeah, really, it can be, whatever space you can come up with for people to gather together. I can't imagine you wouldn't be able to use, like, the library or the gym after school.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But, so don't shut that door completely. So approach it more like, hey, I'm just looking together to put together, like, a wellness club. Really no different than, like, a book club for 6 weeks. So how can I share that information with your team? And I would go to that teacher you're friends with and say, can I give you that email like Kelly sent you yesterday?
Uh-huh.
She sent you a really detailed email about what we send to our inside contact. So your inside contact is that one teacher.
Yeah.
Can I send you an email to share with the team, or would it be better to just work with your classroom in particular and your parents of your classroom?
Okay.
So some different ideas there.
All right. Yeah, that's
great. Post it on the listserv and let me know. I'm so glad you enjoyed the call, Mark. I have other calls on those topics that I've done in the past week, so if you want other ones that I've done for that group in particular, let me know. I'll send them to you.
Yeah, they were just like, you know, just like kind of like getting your mind right. Just like listen to like that kind of talk. You know what? Even like 2 minutes of like any of that 20 or 30 minutes would have been like amazing, but it's like, holy crap, this is a great 30 minutes.
Oh, I'm so happy you said that. Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
Let's see. I accidentally disconnected somebody from the 816 area code. I think that was my friend Angie. Hopefully she'll dial back in. Let's see. We have a couple other people who have not spoken up yet. Is anybody else on the line that wants to share? I see you on the line. That's okay. I won't make you. If you just wanted to listen today, that's fine. Sharon? No? Angie? No? Okay, excellent. Well, you guys, thanks for your time today. This call has been recorded. I'll send out the recording later. If you've got other questions, of course, always visit us on the listserv at Corporate Fit Challenge Fast Track at googlegroups.com. Everyone have an awesome, awesome day, and I'll talk to you soon. Good luck.
Thanks, Trina.